Okay, Boker Tov, everybody. Shavua Tov. Today is the 28th of Tammuz, Monday, Parashat Devarim. So, we are speaking about some of the laws of Pidyon Shavuim, of paying the ransom for captives. So, last time we spoke about paying more. Now, again, obviously, there's no price cap on the life of a Yid, but just so we said, if you're not supposed to pay exorbitant amounts of money to free the captives. We said because that will cause the goyim to do it more and more. However, a talmid chacham or even a child or a regular talmid who is harif me'od, so over there, you're allowed to pay even a little bit more for his, or a lot more, because of what's going to come out of this person. We spoke about, what about ishto? The Bach brought down last time, just quickly to recap, that for a person's wife, now obviously, in general, like we said, there's a takanat chachamim, that if a person's wife, chalina, is captured, a person can't just say, oh well, you can't leave her like that. You have to actually go and pay her ransom. Now, if she is, let's say they are ransoming her more than she's worth, quote unquote, obviously, once again, not that there's a price cap or not that you can put a price tag on the life of a Jew, they're asking for an exorbitant amount of money for this lady. So we broke down last time that there's no obligation, but a person may, as opposed to other people that you're not supposed to pay more than their worth, more than their value, a person's wife, a person can pay more for her pidyon shavuim. So that being said, let's move on. We're in Siman Rishon Bet, Sa'if Hey, says Maran. אין מבריחין השבועין מפני תיקון העולם שלא יהיו האויבים מכבידים עולם עליהם ומרבים בשמירתם. Which means, if you have, let's say, you have a possibility, we spoke about תיקון העולם number one by פדיון שבועין was not paying more than the value of the captive. Number two, let's say you have a way to, you know, get them out. Let's say have a way to, you know, you have a tunnel or you're able to do something, you can pull off a covert operation to get the captives out of jail or wherever they're being held. Can you do that? So once again, Tikkun HaOlam dictates, the Chachamim said that you are not allowed to help them out. You can, you know, try to speak to the captors to pay their ransom, but to, you know, to get them out secretly, that you don't do, because that is going to cause the captors, next time they kidnap people, that is going to cause them to, you know, spend, put extra emphasis on guarding them, and then it's going to be harder to do so for any other captives from now on. And therefore, we just let it be as is. This is a Mishnah in Gittin as well. So, there is, let's see if there's a... Oh, question is, there's a Chavot Ya'ir over here who says something very interesting. He says, I can't facilitate a jailbreak, right, for the captives because of Kuna Onam. What if the captive himself has a chance to run away? Is he allowed to? Or does he have to be concerned, well, if I run away, that's going to impact other people in the future? What do you think? So says the Chavot Ya'ir, just like with regards to ransom, we said that what? You can't pay more. Other people cannot pay an exorbitant amount of money for the person's ransom. What about the person himself? Let's say the person is Ashir Muflad, and he has the money, and he doesn't mind. Is he allowed to pay, or does he have to say, well, if I pay it, so they're going to keep doing it to other people? The halacha is no. The person himself, like we said, there's a pasuk in Iyov, kichol asher la'ish yiten be'ad nafsho, which means that a person's, in a person's own, you know, eyes, his life is priceless. And therefore, he can give as much as he wants. He can pay as much as he wants. And the same thing over here, he's allowed to run away himself. If he sees an opportunity to do so, he's allowed to do that. And he doesn't have to be choshesh that other people, that they're going to be machbid bashmira, they're going to, you know, exert more effort in guarding the other captives in the future. What are you saying, Nathan?
Operation Ninja, yeah. Operation Thunderbolt,
Thunderbolt is the is the movie, but the name of the apparition was actually Entebbe.
Yeah. So the serpent going dead and all the people.
So over there, what they did was actually, they hijacked the plane it was an Air France plane. So it was on the way to Israel, but they hijacked it to Uganda. And then they went, that was actually where the prime minister's brother, Yoni Netanyahu, was killed in that operation. He was like the head of the operation over there. And they went over there and they kind of, it was a whole situation. Anyway, but very interesting. So over there, that's not really captives. That was like a hijacking. Yeah, but over there, that's not like a regular case. Over there, there was a mitzvah. I think they also, from what I remember of the story, I think they also consulted, you know, the Rabbanim or Shim at the time or whatever, but that's not a regular case of ransom. It's not like you have a hijacking every day. Over there in the times of Chazal, they had kidnappings like every day, right? How often do you have a hijacking? You know what I'm saying? So what do you say? So if we help them get out free, if we free the hostages, so they're going to go hijack a plane and... It didn't happen. Again, there were, unfortunately, several hijackings. You know, there was another one, a famous hijacking with, I forgot the name of the airline. Sabine, maybe, I don't remember. Rav Huttner was on it, and Chaim Yosef Raful was on it. It's like a whole big thing. Anyway, but hijackings are not as common as kidnappings were back then. So the chashash is much less. Okay, now...
Can I ask a question before we continue? Would we say the same deen applies, that the value of a person, if it was a ransom trade, like for trading captives for captives, like a prisoner of war type of situation, or what we have in Israel when we trade hostages for terrorists, kind of in a way?
So it's a very, very loaded question. Maran Zichron Berachah actually discusses it a little bit in Yabi Almir. Trading captives, which means Jews for Arabs. It's a very, very loaded, obviously very, emotional question as well. But the halachic aspects are, it's a very big, it's big spectrum. So I can't cover it right now, but it's a very, very interesting question. Weiter. Tov. So it says like this. Says the Shulchan Aruch Vav. Says Maran Tzai Vav. Mi shemachar atzmo le'ovet kochavim. O shelava mehim v'shavu oto be'alva'ato. Which means, let's say a person fell on hard times and he sold himself to a goy. Sold himself as an eved to a goy. Or if he borrowed money from goyim and he didn't have what to pay back, so they're like, okay, now you're ours. I guess that's the way it worked back then. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Pa'am rishona u'shniya podin oto. Which means u'shlishit en podin oto. If he does this twice, the first two times that he does this, you can bail him out. Okay, if you need to pay his ransom, whatever it is. Because over here, there's not really a ransom. What is it? You can kidnap him. Either he sold himself or he borrowed money and just doesn't have what to pay. So if you can come bail him out, it's not like they're going to kidnap more people. This is a guy who did it to himself. The first and second time that he does it, you can bail him out. The third time, that's it. Why is there any mu'ad? Matal said, you're going to keep doing it and you're going to keep making yourself a burden for the Jewish community? No, now you stay there. That's it. He says, Aval podin et habanim le'achar mitat avihim. However, with regards to the children, even after the third time, after their father dies, you're allowed to bail them out. Why? Because over there we're afraid that if you keep them there, they're going to grow up to be like goyim, tinokot shenishbu. So therefore, by the children, we bail them out even after the third time. If the situation deteriorates to such that even after the third or fourth time where we say, okay, now you're going to stay there, but you can tell that now they want to kill him, the halacha is it becomes a pidyon shvuim situation, and you take him out right away, you bail him out if you can, regardless of how many times he's done this in the past. Okay, now, says the Rama, very interesting addition over here, says the Rama, "Shavui shehemir afilu lemitzvah achat, kigon ochel nevelot le'achais asur lifdoto," which means that let's say you have a captive, that in his captivity, he has gone off the derech. Now, going off the Derech Ovir is a very, very specific Hemir, which means that it says the Rama very specific category here, which is Lech Eis. Even for one mitzvah or one avira, which means that let's say you see him eating nevidot, not because that's what they're feeding him and he has nothing else to eat, but because he's doing it Lech Eis, he's doing it in order to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he loses his opportunity. Over there says the Rama that you're no longer allowed to pay his ransom. That's it. He's stuck. Not allowed. That's it. He's stuck. Now, if it's a situation, obviously, hamara, which means he goes, if that's what he has, and they're feeding him treif, because that's what he's going to survive. We're talking about over here that you can ascertain that they offer him, and let's say the food's, both the food is healthy and it's okay, whatever. So they're like, okay, here's kosher food. He's like, no, give me the treif. I don't believe in God anymore. Something like that. He's done. Toast. He stays in captivity. Okay? What do you want to ask? We're good? Okay. Now, says the Ba'eritiv, Ot Dalet, Habanim, yeah? So he said, Pidyon Shvuim is right up there. It's one of the biggest mitzvot of tzedakah, is Pidyon Shvuim. It's a big zach. Now, so he says like this, yeah? Says the Ba'eritiv, Dalet, Habanim, Shelo Yitme'u Ben Avdei Kochavim, which means that we only, what's the reason that after the father dies, we pay the ransom for the children, we get them out, even if the father's done this a bunch of times? Because we're afraid that they're going to go off the derech. Yeah, that's number one. So he says, if that's the case, why do we wait for the father to die to get them out? So he says, ufchayav hin lekel mecha shleachid min tele on evohon, rashi perek ha-sholeach. Umashma, kol she'efshah she'ishmol otan avihen podin otan miyad, says the shach. When the father's still alive, the Gemara says, when the father's still alive, we're not afraid that they're going to go off the derech. Why? Because the father's still alive, he's going to watch them. However, let's say the situation is such that the father's in captivity, they're all in captivity, and the father cannot watch them or be mechanech them or protect them, and they are in danger of going off the derech. What's the halacha? That you're podei otam, you don't wait for the father to die, you bail them out, you pay their ransom immediately so that their spiritual situation doesn't deteriorate. What about the father? The father's a div. He did this a bunch of times, right? He's like, you know, this is after the second time, and he did it the third time already, so he said, it's your fault. You shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have, you know, sold yourself, or put yourself in situations like these, so you have to stay. So, that's with regard to that. Let's move on and see another halacha. Says, oh, I'm sorry, says the Beritiv. I have another one. Hey, le'achis, nitbar b'siman shmul alef tafil b'shvil pa'am achat she'asak ne'achis have mumar shelo le'achiyoto b'lifdoto. The Taz brings down that even if we see him only once do this thing, like for instance, he does this hamara, he goes off and he says, no, obviously it's a very big determination to make. The guy went off the derech le'achis in order to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not possible. Let's say you heard him once or whatever it is. He said, even one time, you heard him say, give me the treif. I don't want the kosher. A God like this can't, you know, a God who acts like this, I don't want to be, you heard him say that? Forget it. He's a toast. Yeah? So now, do they have toast? And perfume of toast? What is it? Oh, they're like, it's like crackers?
No.
Oh, it's like, Avi, are you a Sangak person? Oh, okay. Anyways, you're one of those. Yeah. Yeah. Is it who? Listen, Tadig is relative. You know, it's. You know. I told Avi he can have mine. You know, Avi can have mine. Did you ever have Sangak with the rocks in it? Okay. So now you're official. Matomer, b'chavod. Well, he did it a bunch of times. The guy went to jail, got stuck in jail once. Over here, this guy's a repeat offender. Go collect tzedakah. What are you taking loans from goyim that are going to incarcerate you? You know what I'm saying? It's like, everybody knows, you don't take loans from the mob. That's dangerous. You know what I'm saying? If you don't have any conceivable way to pay it back, that's like, you don't do that. They're going to break your legs and other fun stuff. So he says like this, yeah? Says Zayin. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Ayavid shenishba ho'il v'tavah l'shem avdut v'kibel alav mitzvot kodin otok yisrael shenishba. Very interesting. This was actually yesterday's daf on Shabbat Kuf Lamed Hei. The Gemara spoke about Tehilat Agirim, dipping avadim. So the halacha dictates, let's say a person has an avid, the person has a slave, avid kana'ani, that was captured. Do you have to free him or not? What's the halacha? It says Maran, so when a person buys a slave, what they usually do is that they dip them in the mikveh, l'shem avdut, for the purpose of being an avid. Now, interestingly enough, there's two things. Anytime a person buys an avid, you have to do to him. Even before the tevilah, they have to do milah. There's mitzvah aseh mideoraita for a person, for a master to circumcise his avadim. And after that, you are toveloto, you're matbiloto in the mikveh, you dip in the mikveh for kavana, for avdut. Now, very interesting, once you do that, the Gemara explains what happens to a goy that you purchased and you dipped him in the mikveh for the purpose of being an eved. He's no longer a goy. You know that. He's not a yid either. But what is, he's a quasi-Jew. How so? He becomes chayav b'mitzvot ke'isha. He becomes chayav in the same mitzvot that women are obligated to. So anything a woman's, all of the, he has to keep Shabbat and all of the other things that women are chayav to do. Women are chayav to eat matzah, he has to eat matzah. Anything women are chayav to, he's chayav to. So since he's a partial Jew, obviously he still can't marry a Jewish woman, but since he's partially a Jew, the halacha is that if he gets kidnapped, you have to pay his ransom as well. It says, if a Jew got kidnapped, you have to pay the Eved's ransom as well. Not only that, we know the Gemara teaches us, what happens if a person, now although it's asur to free an Eved, but let's say a person did. Let's say a person went ahead and freed the Eved with either a get shichrur or whatever else it is. When an Eved Kenani gets freed, what's the halacha? He becomes a full-fledged Jew. He's considered a gir. Even if he does nothing else, he just gets freed. That's 100, now he's 100% Jew. Before he was 50, like a woman. Now after he gets freed, he becomes a 100% Jew. And therefore, because even in his avdut, even in his slavery, he's a quasi-Jew, you're chayav to pay for him for his ransom. So we'll stop it right here. We'll continue tomorrow. B'ezrat Hashem, and have a wonderful day. Shavua tov. Let's get ready for Shabbat.